What I want to do this morning is I want to specifically address the members of the confirmation class. Ha! Got your eyes on that one, didn't I? This is your day. This is your hour. This is your sermon. Everybody else in the room can listen in, but I wrote it for you. Okay? Some of you may be wondering why the word dance is in the sermon this morning. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to make you choose partners and move up to the music, although that would have been kind of awesome. It would surprise you. It would not embarrass you, however. I know you, guys. But I don't know if you even like dancing. When I was in the sixth grade, I didn't like dancing, and really rock and roll was in its infancy then. But we did have dancing in school. It was a part of our gym class, as I remember. Some days you played dodgeball, some days you played basketball, and believe it or not, back then the rules were different for girls and boys to playing basketball because girls were too delicate to play by the boys' rules. Some days we climbed, it's true, Johnny, it's true. Some days, he's given me that, you know, that stink eye. Some days we climbed ropes, some days we danced. It's not that we liked to dance, but it was in the curriculum, you had to do it. I remember learning how to square dance. I remember learning how to slow dance. Ooh. And when you came to the end of the slow dance unit, you had a big formal dance in the gym. The guys had to clean up. They actually had to tuck in their shirts. And we were supposed to demonstrate everything that we had learned about dances, like the waltz and the foxtrot, and we danced to 78 RPM records. They went round and round on turntables. You needed a needle to be able to hear the, they went in a groove. And that's how you would hear the music. It was right after Edison invented electricity, you guys. But you couldn't dance every dance with the same partner. The girls had to line up along the wall. And every time the music stopped, the boys had to come over and choose another partner because the girls were not permitted to choose. Yes, this is the era I am from. Anyway, it was a brutal experience. Especially when you were one of the ugly ducklings like I was. So anyway, what is the word dance? Do it in our sermon today. There's one reason and one reason only, and that is because confirmation, just like dancing, is something you do with your feet. Now, other parts of your body are involved, your head and your heart, but in a few minutes, you're going to be asked to get to your feet. You're going to come down front. And surprises, surprises, we are not going to ask your parents to come with you. You know, if something else before this happened big in your life, like maybe when you did something big in scouting, you got a merit badge, you won the spelling bee, somebody from your family usually came up and stood behind you when you got some kind of an award. And sometimes, even in the case of scouting, somebody stuck a pin on your mom, you know. But you know what? Your mother is not going to follow you today. And your dad's not either. And it isn't because they don't care, but when you come up by yourself, it's because it's time for you to stand on your own two feet. This time you are on your own. Years ago, they promised when you were baptized that you were going to be a part of the church. They promised when you were baptized that they were going to raise you as a part of the church. And years ago, they said they were going to try their best to introduce you to Jesus Christ, and for better or worse, they did the best job that they could. But this is your time. They will not continue to do everything for you. You have come to this time to stand up for yourself, and you're going to step out on your own today. You will not be living off of your parents' faith anymore. And that makes your parents proud, most of them. But it also makes your parents nervous. You know, parents always get nervous when kids are on their own, when their children go out on their own, because once you're old enough to cross a few streets without holding hands, to make a few decisions on your own, your parents aren't quite sure where you're going to go or what it is you're going to do, and they're especially worried about who it is you're going to follow. Parents are taught to say things like, well, I don't care what everybody else is doing. You're not everybody else. And what it is as parents that we're trying to remind you is that you're different. But we also understand that you have a need to belong. And what good parents try to do is to force you to be the one that makes the terms of your own belonging. You know, when my boys were growing up, for good or bad, John and I tried to do that. When they would say, well, so-and-so is doing it, we would also say, are they Christians? And most often they would say, no. And I'd be like, well. And then sometimes they would say, well, they go to church. And I would say, that's not what I asked. I asked, are they Christians? And sometimes the jury was out. When they were older and driving, when they went out through the door, I would say one of two things. And one of those two things I would say to them would be, remember who you serve. It wasn't like I was saying, don't forget your keys or don't forget your manners or don't forget your wallet. In fact, I wasn't even saying something like, don't forget to put gas in the car or don't forget to be home by 11. It was more than that. I was saying, don't forget who you are and don't forget who your family is. Because every time you walk out the door to your home, you see you carry a family name and you carry a family history and you carry a family hope. You carry a whole laundry list of family values. And whether you understand all that or not, whether you like that or not, whether you plan to honor all that or not, once you get on your own, that is who you are. It is in your bone. It is in your genes. It is the computer in your head that is your memory, and it's in your heart. You are who you are, and it's like underwear that you never take off. And even if you get 500 miles from home, and even if you never have to walk out your front door again, you will never be able to shake the voice telling you, remember who you are. And you want to know what? From this morning on, you have something else to remember. You have to remember that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, a few minutes from now, Mark and I are going to put our hands on your heads. We're going to say your name. We're going to say, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace. We're going to say, by his Spirit, confirm you in the faith and the fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. And what that means is we're going to scream it to the world. You belong to Jesus. And it's going to make you different from people who don't belong to Jesus. And you're never going to be able to wear the uniform of the world without remembering what's underneath it. In addition to your underwear, you also wear your relationship with Jesus Christ. And that means that there's going to be times when you don't fit in with the crowd, when you will look different, when you might be unusual, and some even say odd. Or to recall Paul's words, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. Now, supposing you're wondering, well, just how odd is this going to make me? Well, in your grandparents' day, the kids who followed Jesus Christ were pretty darn different, I have to tell you. They didn't play cards. They didn't go to movies. They didn't go dancing. They didn't wear makeup. And they especially didn't do those things on Sunday. Now, those days were pretty well over by the time I came along because I danced and I went to movies. And I played cards, but never, ever, never on a Sunday. Ever. You had to wear your good clothes all day long and you couldn't play. I made the mistake one time of putting a Bible on the floor. My grandmother went ballistic. I made the mistake another time of putting the funny papers and the Sunday paper over top of a Bible on the table. I received a lecture on the proper respect for the Word of God. To this day, though, I do have a profound respect for groups that practice their faith by limiting their contact with the world. I respect those people. But I'm not suggesting that as soon as you guys are confirmed that you go home and scrub your face or that you guys never dance again. But what I am suggesting is that at every critical turn in your life, you ask yourself, does the fact that I am a follower of Jesus Christ have anything to say here? If you do that, I think a couple of really, really good things are going to happen to you. First, you might find yourself doing some lowly work. You remember that on the night before our Lord was betrayed, he washed the disciples' feet. That was lowly work. It was dirty work. Smelly work. But he went from friend to friend with a basin and a towel, and he said, love does stuff like this. That's what he said, and it does. That's what love does. Love sometimes stoops down and does the simplest things for the neediest people. You know, perhaps, maybe a nurse. She goes on a month vacation, and you know where she ends up? Changed in bandages in a mission hospital in some third world country. And maybe some visitor comes to the hospital and is overcome by the smell and without thinking says, you know, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. So you know what the nurse would answer? Neither would I. You know, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you will never be able to look at somebody else's need and say, I don't care, or it's not my problem, or no sweat off my back. To be a follower of Jesus Christ means looking out for people. You know, a few years ago, there was a famous evangelist lady, and she hated to fly, and so she drove around the countryside. And she used to go in the roadside restrooms, and some of them were pretty gross. And she really hated that part of driving until one day the Lord spoke to her heart. And she decided that before she left the restroom, she was going to tidy it up. And so what she would do when she would go into a restroom like that, she'd pick up the paper off of the floor, she would wipe down the sink, and she would say, well, here you go, Lord, I hope you like it, before she would leave. Now, I don't want you guys to miss the point. The point is not that you should go home and clean the bathrooms in your home, although I'm thinking your mother would pay me if I would just let that stand. The point is that followers of Jesus are going to find him, they're going to serve him in some messy places and in some uncomfortable places. And it's going to be messy people, messy circumstances. It isn't always pretty. But once you're a Christian, you will never be able to turn your back. Now, second, in addition to doing lowly work, the Lord is going to ask you to make some hard choices. There's going to be some things that your friends are going to want you to do that are going to just catch in your chest. And at the time, you may make some lame excuse why you can't do it. Yeah, you got to go wash your hair or something. You may make some lame excuse. But as you get older, there will come a time, we all pray, when you will be able to say, no, I'm not going to do that. And it's because I remember who I serve. I remember I'm a servant of Jesus. So Lexi and Michaela and Corey and Mason and Ben and Aaron, at every critical turn in your life, I pray you will ask yourself, does the fact that I am a follower of Jesus Christ have anything to say to me here? Because I think it does, and I think it will. And if it doesn't, it should. So when Mark and I give you the high sign, I want you to dance your way up here, okay? And when you leave the church at the close of this service, I want you to remember who you are. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we pray for our confirmands this morning, that they would always remember who they serve. We thank you, Father God, that they have confessed your Son as their Lord and Savior, and that they have asked him to live in their hearts, your faith. And we pray, as those who love them, that you would put a hedge of protection around these young people, that you would complete the work that you've begun in their lives, and that you would guard, guide, and protect them each and every day until they see you face to face. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite to come forward those who want to affirm their baptism by being confirmed today. Dear friends in Christ, we are received in the church family to the sacrament of infant baptism in our particular worship tradition. These young people have found nurture and support in the midst of the family of Christ through prayer and study. They have been led by the Holy Spirit to affirm their infant baptism, and they have been led by the Holy Spirit to claim in your presence the covenant of the
They are to service of Jesus Christ. Use the gifts that the Holy Spirit has bestowed upon each one of them.
My friend, you are no longer children or strangers, but you are equal citizens of all the saints, members of Christ Church of Petersburg, and the household of faith, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus alone being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together, grows into a holy temple in Christ, in whom you are also being built into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Christ Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Or you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. When did you do that?
Mace, do you claim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And when did you do that, buddy?
I wonder.
And Michaela, do you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And when did you do that? And Lexi, do you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And when did you do that? Stand. Your own thing. But these questions we can answer together. Do each one of you desire to affirm your infant baptism now that you are of the age of accountability? And do you want to affirm that baptism into the faith and the family of Jesus Christ? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And do you renounce the powers of evil? And do you claim the freedom that new life in Jesus Christ offers you? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And do you promise by the grace of God to always be Christ's disciple, to follow in the way of our Savior, to always resist evil, to always show love, and to witness to the work and the word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? And if so, say, I promise with the help of God.
I promise with the help of God.
And do you promise, according to the grace given to you, to grow in the Christian faith, to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, to celebrate Christ's mission, and to further Christ's presence in the entire world? And if so, say, I promise with the help of God.
I promise with the help of God.
Now, parents, those of you who have nurtured these young people in your home, today they become full members of the body of saints. They have claimed Christ for themselves. Well done. But I have to ask you, and if you are a parent, a grandparent, or a godparent, would you please stand right now so I may ask you a question? You now, Caleb found something. She always finds stuff like this. To those of you who have been responsible for these young people, you now release them into the care of the Lord. If so, say we do. Please be seated. With God, may this be prayed. Father God, infant baptism, you receive these young people into a church family. We pray that now that they have achieved the age of accountability, that you would accept them into your kingdom through their profession of their faith in you. Increase in them the gifts of your Holy Spirit. Grant them love for others, joy in serving you, peace in disagreement, patience in suffering, kindness towards all people, goodness in evil time, faithfulness in temptation, gentleness in the face of opposition, self-control in all things. Strengthen them for their unique ministry in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
pray with them. And you will send your Holy Spirit fulfilling the overflowing that you will return in heaven and God will be your child. Bless this young man. Complete the work in his life. We pray, Father God, that you will enable him to take God. Father God, we pray for Aaron this day that your Holy Spirit would come upon him with power. Multiply the grace and peace in his life so that he might keep the balance which may be dangerous and bring him faithfully to them. That's all the same. Father God, we pray for Corey. That your Holy Spirit would come upon her with great power. We pray that you would straighten her and strengthen her and stand her up and that she might know that she is a child of yours. She will always remember who she is in you. And we pray that your glory would shine forth in her face and in her life. We pray in Jesus'
name. Father God, we pray for Mason, that your Holy Spirit would come upon him with great power and strength. Encourage him and strengthen him in every good work. Make him calm and steadfast in the faith. Guard and guide him all of his days. We pray in Jesus' name.
Father God, we pray for Michaela. The Lord, you would show forth grace, peace, and joy. We pray you would send your Holy Spirit to give her strength. She would always make good decisions. She would have a good sense of who she is in you. Father God, we pray for Lexi. Send your Holy Spirit and fill her to overflow, guard and guide and protect her all of her days. Strengthen her in every good work. And we pray for
we rejoice, Father God, that these people have your gift of the Holy Spirit. We rejoice, Father God, in the Holy Spirit's power to awaken them and us to the truth and to inspire us to live the fullness of life you want for all of your children. We give you thanks that they have been moved to affirm their infant baptisms, that you have brought them to this place after they have come to the age of accountability. And we pray that you would help them to live not for themselves, but for those whom Christ loves. And we pray, Father, that you would keep them steady and abounding in hope, that they would never give up, and that they would press towards the goal of life with you in Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand. Now, by your infant baptisms, you were made one with the church family. And today we do rejoice in your pilgrimage of faith that has brought you to this place and this time. We are so and so excited. And we celebrate your presence here with us at Christ Church because we're all working together and it's such fun to serve the Lord. But I have one more question for you. And this is the heart. It is another heart. To each one of you, recognizing that today is a beginning and not an end, promise to participate and a mission of this particular family of believers in Christ Church. Do you promise to share regularly in the worship of God in this place? To enlist in the work of this local church as it serves the community in the world? Let there be no mistake. You are promising to be faithful defenders of this church so that you might grow together with us. And if that is your desire, say, I promise. So, all of us, this is not done in a vacuum. Do we promise our love, our support, and our prayers for these young people because they cannot do this on their own? It is an ugly world outside of this place. Do we promise our love and our support and our care for these young people? And if so, say we do with the help of God. Amen. Father God, may your hand always be over your servants confirmed today. May your Holy Spirit always be with them, and so lead them in the knowledge and the obedience of your word, that they might serve you in this life and dwell with you in the life to come. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.